Chapter 31. The work team had been given a break after unloading their cargo in the slaver ship's hold. The smaller team of less muscular slaves then stowed the goods and supplies in their various storage compartments within Captain Tour's vessel. Charlie drank deeply from the water dispenser mounted near the wall. All of the men were drenched in sweat after laboring under such heavy weights, the lines of their pack straps showing clearly on their skin in the form of indented red grooves where the load pulled hardest. It was during this unexpected downtime that Charlie had an inspiration. The doors seemed to be on voice command, and those hand thingies the guards are wearing appear to be the remote access devices. I've never seen them push any buttons, so it must be strictly voice activated. I wonder. Charlie stared at the guard, lazily pacing the cargo hold, while the slave laborers regained their strength for the next run. Worth a try, he thought, rising to his feet and walking more toward the guard than the water vessel.
Charlie, what are you doing? Tuk-Tuk hissed.
Charlie flashed his friend a little smile and kept moving. The doors on either end were sealed with the usual force field, but if the guard was facing the right way, maybe, just maybe, the device he wore was directional as well as voice-activated. With an exaggerated flourish, Charlie tripped and fell, catching himself on the Tislava guard's arm on the way down.
Faramano, he said,
uttering the word he'd heard the Tislavas say into the wrist-worn device in a hushed voice as he struggled back to his feet. The guard yanked his arm away and shoved Charlie roughly.
Watch where you're walking.
Yes, of course, I'm sorry. I was just feeling lightheaded from the work. May I please get some more water?
Of course, idiot. Captain Tour wants all his laborers to drink well. You're of no use to him unconscious.
He thought a moment.
Well, we could sell your worthless body for chum, I suppose, he added with a laugh.
No, I'm fine. Really, just some water, please.
All right, go on then.
Charlie caught Tuk-Tuk's look and gave a little smile as he crossed to the water dispenser. The guard had turned and wandered off the other direction, bored and pacing as he waited for orders to head out once again. This was his chance. Slowly, Charlie filled a cup of water, then casually strolled toward the door the voice device had been pointing at when he had surreptitiously grabbed onto it. He nonchalantly turned his back to the door, surveying the men in the room with him. All were in their own worlds, relaxing and gathering strength before the next heavy load would burden their backs. Perfect for his needs. With a tentative hand, he reached behind him, feeling for the odd resistance of the force field tech that slavers used in place of actual doors. Rather than coming up against a barrier, however, his hand passed right through. The door was deactivated. Holy shit, it actually worked. So the device just needs either proximity or contact, or maybe both. Whatever, from now on I'm memorizing every damn command phrase I hear. The realization he might have just found a way out of this place filled him with a welcome rush of adrenaline that now coursed through his body. Only Tuk-Tuk was looking, shaking his head slightly, as if trying to will Charlie not to be so foolish. But his human friend had a mission, and with a smile and a wink, he stepped through the door and was gone. No telling how long I have before they notice. Better be quick, Charlie reminded himself, as he raced down the corridors, careful not to rush around corners without first taking a stealthy peek, lest he bump into one of the crew. Fortunately, their arrival on this world seemed to be like the others he had observed in his brief captivity, and despite being aliens, to him anyway, the captain's men were like any other sailors finally on dry land. Shore leave was their only interest as soon as the craft settled into port, and they made haste in heading to town to drink, fight, and whatever other sort of mischief they might get up to, leaving but a skeleton crew on board. They said Rika was being kept in the rear of the ship near the storage areas, Charlie noted, as he oriented himself within the ship's corridors. This was an area he was unfamiliar with, the slaves only being ferried in and out by the same bland corridor every time their brawn was needed. But this was something different, more ornate, the
the lines of the walls gently sloping rather than possessing the harsher geometry of the steerage compartments he was accustomed to. The light was even better. A full-spectrum light with a warm, comforting glow illuminated the length of the ship as far as he could see.
"Right, that's the way," he muttered, taking off at a careful trot toward the back of the ship.
"Rika," he hissed as he passed what appeared to be slave quarters. The accommodations were far nicer than what he'd experienced, he noted.
"Rika," he called again, careful to keep his voice low.
A form shuffled toward the force field door and appraised him with curious eyes. A Druk, and an older one at that. He still didn't understand how these odd people managed to command the ship's drive systems, but now was not the time to play 20 questions.
"Hey, I'm looking for a woman. Human, like me. Have you seen her?"
The man looked at him a long moment, then turned and headed back into the comfort of his confines.
"Hey, I asked you a question. Hey."
"He doesn't talk much," a young woman's voice said from behind him. Charlie spun to find a thin woman, barely more than a girl, really, with a shaved head. Her skin was the palest shade of yellow. If he didn't know better, he might have thought she was merely jaundiced and not an Utaki.
"You're Utaki," he said, stating the obvious.
"Yes."
"I haven't seen you before. With the others, I mean."
"No, you wouldn't have," she said, mindlessly rubbing her hand across her bald head. "Captain Tour bought me from my former master just the other day.
So you're new here too.
And I guess he cut off your hair for himself before tossing you in there."
"Oh no, I was attacked while fetching my master dinner. Bad men pinned me down and did terrible things to me."
Charlie felt a knot forming in his stomach.
"I'm so sorry they hurt you. If you need to talk about it with
hurt,
I was not harmed. I'd have preferred that, to be honest. But no, these men were not after my body."
He knew what they had done, and from what Tuk-Tuk had said about the Utaki, losing their hair was a Samson-like tragedy under even the best circumstances. To have it taken by force? He could only imagine her distress.
"But it'll grow back, right? Given time."
The girl tried to smile, but the effort did not ring true.
"I appreciate the kindness," she said. "I am Nima."
"I'm Charlie. I'd shake your hand, but the force field door would make that an unpleasant experience."
"What is a force field?"
"You know, the energy field blocking the door. What's keeping you in and me out."
"Oh, the spell, you mean?"
"People keep saying that. It's got to be some sort of glitch in the translation software."
"What is software?"
"You know, the device that translates our languages so we can communicate."
"Ah, the Ovusk spell. Yes, Captain Tor was kind enough to give me a fairly powerful one when he brought me aboard. It has made my assimilation to my new home much easier."
"Here she goes with that magic talk again," he silently lamented. "Well, listen, Nima, I'm trying to find my friend. And unlike you, I'm afraid they are hurting her in far worse ways than shearing her hair." The woman shuddered at the thought.
"That is terrible."
"Yes, it is. But I was told she is being held somewhere around here, toward the rear of the ship.
Have you seen another human, like me?
A woman with dark hair? Her name is Rika, and she's kind of hard to miss."
"She is large?"
"What? No, just her personality greatly outsizes her frame is all." The Utaki girl leaned against the doorway, making sure to stay clear of the force field.
"I'm sorry, Charlie, but I have not seen another of your kind since my arrival."
"Damn," Charlie groaned.
"But I have heard a female voice crying out from far down the passageway. I could not give you an accurate location other than it came from that way," she said, pointing down the hall.
"That's more than I had to go on a minute ago," he said, turning to leave.
"Thanks,
and I hope your hair grows back soon."
Nima smiled as her new acquaintance took off at a quick trot down the corridor. He passed numerous rooms, each containing one of the Druks that piloted the ship. Their accommodations were relatively lush compared to what he was used to. But then, if they were the ones making the ship go, it made sense Captain Tour would afford them some degree of luxury.
A happy crew is a productive crew, after all. He was just musing that thought when he ran smack into a wiry wall of muscle exiting a room into the passageway. Shit, I'm sorry, I was just... Captain Tor's angry gaze froze him in place. Charlie had the briefest of moments where he glanced the half-clothed Druk woman in the room the man had just left. Then the captain spoke. Nari Paw. Charlie felt the shock from his collar surge through his body. At least it was a minor one, he realized, taking minor consolation in the fact he hadn't been zapped into unconsciousness again. Captain Tour hauled him roughly to his feet and dragged him forcefully back to the cargo hold. He threw Charlie through the open door, sending him sprawling to the floor. The guard was stunned. Apparently, he hadn't noticed his missing charge. Sir, I can explain. Captain Tour was having none of that, the swift violence of his hands quickly knocking the man to the ground. He didn't stop there. Several brutal kicks soon followed, until a thin trickle of blood dripped from the guard's lip.
Get up, Tour growled.
The guard complied, doing his best to stand straight after his beating.
You're on punishment rations for the next month, and no shore leave until I deem you are worthy of my trust. Is that clear?
Yes, Captain, the man said, chided.
Now go fetch me Targan. He will take your place.
As you wish, the guard said, then raced off to get his replacement. Tor turned to Charlie.
And as for you, he said, looming over the human like a wrathful storm. I believe you to have value, and I do not wish to diminish that value by harming my merchandise.
Thank God, Charlie thought, breathing a little sigh of relief.
However, shit, disobedience is not tolerated among my slaves. From time to time, an example must be made to reinforce that point. Today, you shall help me remind the others why it is best not to test my resolve.
Charlie didn't hear much beyond Uzri Ha, which flung him across the room, followed by Bandu, which delivered an invisible blow, knocking the wind out of him. From that point, it was one voice command followed by another, knocking him around, shocking him, and making him regret ever searching for his friend. When the beating was over, Charlie's body showed no outward signs of the punishment, but the pain was there, quite real despite the lack of bruising.
Now, gather your wits and prepare for your next load. You will do as you are told, and you will carry my merchandise efficiently and quickly. If you do not, you will see what I am like when truly upset.
Captain Tour strolled out of the room, casting a glaring eye upon all of his slaves, daring any one of them to question his will. The replacement guard came rushing in just as he was about to leave.
You are to take these porters to fetch the rest of my goods.
I see. Yes, sir. I will take them as soon as the rest cycle is complete.
No, I am cutting it short. The rest period is over. Leave now, and keep an eye on that one, he said, pointing to Charlie.
Yes, sir, the man said. You heard him. Get moving, you worthless beasts. Charlie felt it was going to be a very long day.